Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. How should the University of South Dakota Law School address falling enrollment? Does moving the law school to Sioux Falls make sense in the shifting demographic landscape of the state? Are there other ways to boost enrollment and expand offerings to would-be South Dakota lawyers? SDPB's Jackie Hendry has been following this ongoing story and giving you updates as it unfolds. She joins me now in the SDPB studios in Vermilion. Jackie Hendry, welcome back.
Hi, Lori. Thanks for having me.
All right. This is the final meeting of this task force, in theory.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Where was this one held? And give me the overall tone of it.
All right, this one, the final meeting was held actually in the courtroom of USD's law school building currently in Vermilion. The general tone, much shorter than previous meetings, this one only 4 hours, focusing on review of what we've learned over the summer from the past two meetings and then laying out the main three options. So original task for this task force, do we stay in Vermilion or do we move to Sioux Falls? Those are the main two options, but then in our last meeting we came up with a potential third option, which would be offering some programming in Sioux Falls, but staying based in Vermilion. So there was some review of previous research, followed by a recommendation from Mike Spivey of the Spivey Consulting Firm, who first came to the second meeting. That firm literally specializes in increasing enrollment for law schools across the country. His main quote from this meeting saying he sees no evidence that building a shiny, sparkling palace in Sioux Falls will increase the applicant pool relative to building a new building, which is interesting because his first appearance before the task force, fully in favor of Sioux Falls. This final
change
meeting.
Change his mind.
Yep. Offering his firm basically recommending the hybrid option, which would be partially in Sioux Falls, but mainly based in Vermilion.
All right. So what made him change his mind, do you think?
Well, the firm looking at the potential move based on three main factors: what's doable, what will increase the applicant pool, and what's going to benefit students. And with that point in mind, he said basically location isn't really the central issue. It has more to do with scholarships. It has more to do with modernizing the curriculum, some flexibility with night classes, certificate programs, online offerings, which USD kind of lacks right now. And so based on those ideas, having some of that programming in Sioux Falls to increase those specialized programs, have that nearness to maybe compliance offices and have that professional opportunity there, but ultimately based in Vermilion with some of that option would probably increase actually the applicant pool.
So were his comments universally accepted? Were there things that he said that made people bristle? Was it an ongoing, does this feel like a compromise?
It did feel like a compromise for some members of the task force. Some were kind of concerned that we were looking at the law school a little bit too much like a trade school. Mm-hmm. Lake Area Tech was often referred to as an example of a school that's doing particularly well, but, it's not a law school. The argument being we're the purpose to be providing judges and lawyers to the state of South Dakota, not just the JD Advantage certificate programs.
Sure.
But ultimately, the motion to vote for a complete move to Sioux Falls failed by three votes. The task force then voted on the hybrid option, and it passed.
All right, let's go over these motions one at one. Two motions, and that was it?
Nope, there were a few motions. The central recommendation of the task force going for that hybrid option that we've talked about, but then there were some additional, four additional recommendations from the law school. So we know that location has not been the only issue we've talked about. A lot of it comes down to money. So second recommendation, probably the longest conversation, was about an additional funding of $600,000 a year to the law school, and that'll come from a couple different places. So we know that USD is a publicly funded school, so that means a certain amount of their budget comes from the state of South Dakota. Hypothetically, Chairman Mickelson used the number maybe $60 million, so I'll use that for illustrative purposes. So if $60 million is coming from the state, USD needs to find $300,000 from that budget to reroute to the law school. Mm-hmm. Where that comes from is up to them.
So whatever the pool is coming to USD as a whole, USD needs to give more of it to the law school. Do I understand that correctly?
Yes.
All right, that's the recommendation.
Yep, half of that will come from USD, and then an additional $300,000 will be requested from the state legislator through a legislative process, and all together totaling a recommended $600,000.
All right. What are the other recommendations, highlights from that?
Of course, you always have to go for an advisory committee as we move forward with this process, mm-hmm. assuming this is what President Abbott decides to accept these recommendations. Additional scholarships was, you know, an ongoing conversation. These would all be privately funded scholarships, no additional tax dollars towards scholarships. So that passed, finding something like 30 half-ride scholarships in privately funded scholarships. Another recommendation, requesting approval from the South Dakota Board of Regents for the ability for the law school to offer in-state tuition to out-of-state applicants. Mm-hmm. And both this move and scholarships coming from frustration on the part of recruitment in being that kind of financial incentive for getting the best of the best students at our law school.
All right. So similar to what we see at the University of Sioux Falls with the tuition reset, really looking at those tuition numbers.
That's right.
Makes you wonder how far that's going to spread in higher education, where folks really have to look at their tuition and make some of those hard decisions, mm-hmm. which I'm sure have ripple effects.
Absolutely.
All right. And what would that advisory committee do?
Pretty much working with Dean Gooey of the law school, basically laying out, here's the recommendation. Now we need to move forward. This is a separate group to work into implementation. Kind of a theme and a struggle with this meeting was just how do we keep ourselves on task for mm-hmm. just giving our recommendation and not getting caught up with the minutia of how we implement it. So implementation goes to that advisory committee.
What about this notion of renovation of the current school?
Yes, there was a motion brought forward from Professor Hutton of the law school wanting to seek roughly $10 million to renovate the existing facilities in Vermilion. That motion did not pass as a recommendation of this task force. But some reasoning behind it being that there are very few actual classrooms in the law school, which puts a lot of strain on schedule offerings, as well as the idea, a student, Morgan Nelson, who's president of the Student Bar Association here at USD, she brought up the point that there are actually far fewer women's restrooms in the law school than men's restrooms. But that conversation was brought to an end pretty quickly. Chairman Mickelson saying it's not within our purview to add toilets right now. That'll come to someone else, but I have a feeling that conversation is not over.
But no traction for renovation or making it shinier or newer. That's not the core problem, they thought.
Right, not at this time.
Yeah, all right. And the little bit of hubbub at the end. Let's talk about accreditation and what unfolded there in the meeting.
Right. So there had been some conversation that at some point the task force was going to go into executive session, meaning that part would be closed to the public to discuss personnel issues as related to accreditation. So USD's law school is on a watch list with the American Bar Association, citing, you know, falling enrollment, incoming student credentials, things like that. But a reporter with the Argus Leader, Megan Raposa, as they were about to enter that executive session, she questioned if the chairman would be able to cite statutes for closing this meeting to the public, not understanding why accreditation of a public university would need to be a mm-hmm. closed meeting. His response was that he couldn't cite the statute, but they were going to do it anyway, which, as you can imagine, did not necessarily play well in the room. So Judge Bastian ultimately moved to limit the topic of discussion in that closed meeting to only things that would be covered by a statute, like competitive business nature of something. Sure. That closed meeting lasted maybe 10 minutes, and ultimately a tweet from the South Dakota Newspaper Association said that more than likely this task force didn't necessarily need to follow the rules of the statutes in play, but it was definitely an interesting conversation about transparency.
There we go. Jackie Hendry, thank you so much. Any final takeaways on this? What are you going to take away from it personally, other than hours and hours of your life spent in meetings hearing about the law school? How did it all unfold? Did you think it fair? Proper, appropriate?
I found it fair, and what I was excited by, and actually what Mike Spivey of the consulting firm noted, was that he has never, in all his work nationwide with law schools, he has never seen quite this amount of passion with regard to the law school, which is very exciting. I think we're headed in the right direction. It'll be interesting to see how it goes.
All right. We'll keep our eye on it. You'll keep your eye on it and keep bringing folks the updates. Thanks, Jackie.
Thank you.